Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
People forget that you're allowed to not like people.
Yeah, yes, right. What's wrong with that? And that's what this like I wish them well bullshit.
No.
I don't wish them well.
I wish
that nice people will be like, well, not bad people who cheat and bad people.
I don't
people.
Wish anyone well. Hey, welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You. It's a CastBox original produced in partnership with Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android. Did you know that, Nikki?
I didn't know that. I wish someone had told me.
Well, that's where you can find all your favorite podcasts, don't you know?
And you can listen to Shit They Don't Tell You wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
No, it is the best.
That's right, Steve.
I like it better than my wife.
Excuse me?
But that's not hard. Cue laugh track, please.
Cue intro.
Please.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Hello, my name is Steve Green. You listen to the Shit They Don't Tell You podcast. I'm joined here today by my lovely wife, Nikki.
Hi.
And today we have a very special guest. He's a comedian. He's a funny man. He is. He has his own, what do you call it? Your own, like, what do you?
It's
what,
like a quartet. Like
network. A quartet, yeah.
Like a little, yeah.
We say comedy production company.
Okay, ooh. Yeah.
A media
oh, wow.
company.
You're the man now.
A multimedia company.
Yeah, then we say crowdfunded to make sure everybody knows that it's don't expect a lot of hits.
True,
yeah.
True.
Don't
true.
Expect views.
Yeah, they're the Valley Folk, and he is one member. We've also had Lee on.
Yeah.
Lee Newton.
She's great.
And then I also play fantasy football with Joe Bretta, who sucks ass at fantasy football.
Does he really?
Yeah, so we're very linked.
He's really bad.
Hmm? We're very linked because we know all these people that you know.
We've known each other for years, guys.
Yeah.
We all go back.
That's right. We have known Elliot.
Time.
That yeah. we've known.
We
that was the one I forgot. We did. We've known Elliot
yeah.
too.
Yeah. We always forget. He's the one you forget.
He's the one we forget.
That's what, well, that's why I tell my manager. I'm like, I want to be the one they forget. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. When that's your brand.
Especially when I do stand up, really like I want people to leave and be like, oh,
what was
yeah.
that guy? What was
his
name?
What was, yeah, what was exactly. one of the jokes he told? Yeah, I don't cool. know. Very forgettable.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what
when
I
was
for.
In high school, the stand-up came to our thing, and he had just been on Letterman and shit, and he just said his name over and over again, and it was genius. His name was Al Lubell, and it was genius because I've never forgotten his name. To date, I've never forgotten his name. He came out, and he did a whole bit where he just was singing his name the whole time for 7 minutes, and I haven't ever
Man.
Forgotten his name.
Was it funny? Was he a good comedian?
I don't remember. I just remember his name. That's the only thing I remember.
So long term, you think the strategy worked?
Or? I think it did, yeah. I think that's all he had to do.
Just in terms of being remembered?
People yes. don't remember what yeah, you say. That's... They remember how you made them feel.
Oh,
he felt
okay.
very Al Lutton.
But dude, think about like the new ad that you sometimes hear on the radio or on TV where they just keep saying the name of the thing over and over again. Have you
oh,
heard
yeah.
that? Where it's just like
keys,
Jeep
keys,
Grand
keys,
Cherokee,
keys
especially
on
Jeep.
Exactly. Yeah,
keys,
infomercials
keys,
are
yes.
really good about that.
Like applied directly to the forehead, head mm-hmm. on, applied directly to the forehead. Like that's what Al Lubell did, and it worked.
Head on was the first that was like oh so over the top because I used to play during Wheel of Fortune a lot. I'd watch Wheel of Fortune, and these head on commercials
Nerd.
Would come on, and I remember being like, "This is like oh, it's so clearly trying to like condition you to remember the brand that it's like aggressive and
it's
you're like
cynical
and it works
yeah
and you're like
it's mean
yeah it's abusive that's what
yeah.
it is it feels abusive
you're
it's
like
so
I'm rooting
mean.
Against
yeah.
you for this to work
yeah
right?
it's just
and
like,
I see
it I'm like
works.
Now I know the product again
it's
God
just
dang
like
it.
How last night me and Nikki were at the grocery store and we were trying to get vanilla extract and Nikki told me this is true by the
yeah.
way that
The vanilla extract comes from beaver assholes or some
if
shit.
If you don't get the organic one, if it's vanilla flavored extract or whatever, it's beaver asshole glands.
And that is the most cynical thing I've ever heard in my life.
Did you Google it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's true, right? It's,
when you say it's the most cynical thing,
do you mean like it just confirms cynical people's views? Or do you mean like those beavers were cynical?
No, not the beaver.
It's cynical to take a beaver's asshole.
The person.
Oh, and market it.
The fact that they can go, watch this. We can get people to eat beaver assholes. Watch. No, really, we can.
You think there's a whole group of people out there trying to get you to eat beaver assholes?
No, I think that there's an alternative. They didn't have
is
to
this
use
a conspiracy theory podcast?
Maybe. But
I've been eating beaver asshole too long, and I'm pissed at it.
No, listen. They didn't have to use beaver assholes. That's what I'm saying. They could have used probably a lot of other things, like pumpkins or some shit.
Polyamorphenylaminane
or something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but the fact that they're using beaver assholes is the most cynical thing I've ever heard.
That's because people are throwing away beaver assholes all the time. People aren't throwing away pumpkins.
If I go into my trash one more time and I see like 10 beaver assholes, I'm like, what are
sell
we doing?
Shit.
Get a
sell
bin.
What are you doing? You got to sell that shit for vanilla extra.
Anyway, we are talking about breakups today.
Oh, man.
Sorry for going so off topic right off the bat, but we just have fun with guests that are fun. So you're fun. Don't let it get to your head.
So tell us about your marriage.
Wait.
Let's dive in.
Yeah.
Let's.
My God.
This is like coming out during Christmas time. And I just feel like for some reason, holidays are a big time for breakups for people. Like, my theory is that you're seeing all this joy around you, and if you don't have that same joy in your relationship, you suddenly realize that.
Sure.
Shit, this is not who I want to cuddle with.
But isn't the joy all around us, like the Instagram joy, like kind of manufactured and like pretend stuff anyway?
No, I mean, I think there's an element of joy, like mostly nostalgia probably from it being pounded into you during childhood that this is the most joyous time of the year. And so you believed it and you're like, oh my God, I have so much fun. And so you just remember it being fun. And then you see like jingle bells and like reindeer and you're like, oh, it makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, when I see like Mary and the words Mary and bride in cursive, I don't know, something makes me mad. I don't know why.
The corporate
like beaver
stuff?
Asshole mad or
yeah,
like,
well, not kind of like that, but
Steve
it's a
gets
different
mad at
kind of mad.
Pretty much yeah. everything.
No, I'm just so like, it's... what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how it got turned into that.
Do you mean like the fact that they're saying be merry as though like hey, be merry?
No, I'm okay with being merry, but the whole merry and bright thing, being tied into a Bud Light ad thing, pisses me off somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
so you don't like the corporate sellout part of it?
Yeah, but I also do.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'm all about it.
Me
like
too.
Corporate sellout, corporate
shopping makes me so happy,
whatever.
And
yeah.
It doesn't.
Advertising makes me happy too.
It doesn't
yeah.
quite fill the void in my heart, but it makes me feel like I might be able to. And so then,
what does
shopping?
Oh, really? Oh,
I
you're
love
a shopper.
Shopping.
Oh, interesting.
When I love getting the emails of them advertising new shit to me.
Really,
I love that.
I love getting deal emails.
Yes,
Best Buy 40% deal emails.
Just the companies I like. Not like random scam.
Do you
emails.
Do a lot of online shopping?
I do.
Does your Instagram feed tell you like stores to buy clothes at?
It suggests different stores based off of the brands I already follow.
Yeah, I've been getting a whole influx of these like brands that target dudes like me who like clothes and like to keep an eye on what the gentlemen are wearing.
Oh,
and
yeah?
they're like, oh, you can have this really nice top for like $49.99. Well, I went on a little Goog search and it turns out that most of those companies are garbage.
Really?
And they're based out of China. They buy the clothes in bulk. They buy them for like, they're like trash quality. They all immediately fall apart. All the reviews on these companies are terrible. And their advertising is so good that I don't even mind. I'm
true.
Like, just
yes.
show me.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. And it's like a really smart way. Like the brand name will be very like, you know, the whole marketing approach.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that is the kind of company I would want to buy from. And it's a total shell garbage company. And I've almost fallen for it like four times.
They kind of like deserve your money because of how well they did the marketing.
Yeah. I have a closet full of Colts jerseys. I'd say 75% of them are completely fake from China.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it.
Thank
it's great.
God.
Yeah.
I can't wait to buy more.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to this holiday season.
If it's fake and it like holds together and still looks good, great. Like, more power to you. I could care less. But if it actually does fall apart, then I feel like I'm actually getting ripped off.
Yeah, but if I spent $20 on five of them,
and then you're like, what am I
going to
worry about? Sure. Yeah.
I'm stoked.
You
and I can
you
spill beer on them, and I can go over to the guys, and we can watch a game, and I'm not worried about it. Or, like, Nikki can hug me, because sometimes they'll get a makeup smear on it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, shit, this jersey is all fucked now, and I can't even, you gotta take it to
you're
the dry cleaner.
You're living a messy life. It sounds like a messy life.
I do. I have a messy life.
Literally messy.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, you should see my office. It's insane.
I eat like a, I don't know, do you eat messily?
He eats like this. Yeah. He holds a fork like this.
I hold a
he
fork like,
really?
A, like an infant
he
child.
He shovels it. I'm not
that's
even
amazing.
Joking.
There's memes out there.
Dude, I've done that like as a there's something very satisfying about it. Like, it feels great.
Like, you're like
great.
A caveman, it's primal, it's like, instinct.
Nobody can stop me. That's what's great. There's nobody over my shoulder being like, hey, you can't do this
That's
anymore.
What they don't tell you about adult life is that you have more fun.
You know what else they don't tell you about adult life? Breakups.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, yeah.
So we're going to share some stories. And also, more importantly, I want to just talk about, like, some of the stuff that no one tells you about that you kind of have to learn the hard way. So, Elliot, you can start. What was like your worst breakup? Well, if we get the fun ones out of the way.
A fun segue.
My worst, I mean, obviously, you guys know that my worst breakup, hands down, was the first one that I did, which was.
Say it.
I don't know if I can.
Come on, come on.
Shed a tear first.
Give it. Come on, we're monetizing this.
It was my divorce.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. This is the first time I've talked about
Wait,
it.
Wait, so was that was your first breakup?
It was, basically. Yeah.
That was your first relationship.
Thing. Yeah, we were high school sweethearts.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in terms of like real, like adult, like definitely the first adult breakup, yeah. And then,
totally.
So I started big. I like to start big.
That's huge, yeah.
I like to do big, big, bold moves. And yeah, that was the worst. Everything
Where
else.
Where are you from?
I'm from, this is a common question. So I can give all the background. I'm from Central Florida. I grew up religious. I grew up as what's called a Pentecostal Christian. And I grew up as a very conservative, outspoken Republican, and then started acting around the age of like 7 and all this stuff. And so I always kind of existed in these two worlds. One was very artsy, very liberal, and the other was like, my dad is a hunter and all this stuff. And so I had like that type of kind of dual upbringing. And then I met a girl in high school. We were both doing theater. We got married when we were a lovely person. We got married when we were 20 years old, which is halfway through college.
Oh my gosh.
I was majoring in a thing called zoology. The plan was to be a veterinarian, and then she was going to be a lawyer. Plans kind of changed. I still got my degree in zoology, applied to go to dental school because I thought if I could go into dentistry, then I could continue to be like still have time to do my artsy stuff.
Oh,
something
nice.
And me was like,
if only I could just
be
a dentist.
Exactly. Yeah. The dream. Yeah. And it was a very sort of like, I know the logic behind it because it was like in no world could I make a living doing this kind of thing. And especially on the track that I was on already, having been married, it was like, well, this is what you do. Like you get a job, you get married, you get a job.
Be responsible.
You'd have so much more material if you went into industry and then moonlit as a stand-up.
What was that? Sorry.
You would have had so much more material
if you were a dentist and then moonlit as a stand-up.
Think of all the dentist jokes you could be doing that
so
you're not doing.
So many teeth jokes that aren't told. No one tells them.
You know, guys, this is if we could orchestrate our lives once
again,
more.
True.
You know, but this is the desolation.
I would have not washed this and machine warm. I'm wearing a very tiny Colts sweatshirt.
If you'd have known. There's an idea in a book I read recently the book is called When Nietzsche Wept, and it's this fictionalized version of Nietzsche who he's very sad, and he goes, essentially, it's like the discovery of therapy. One of the ideas that Nietzsche talks about is this idea of infinite recurrence, and rather than thinking of your life as like, oh, I'm going to die and everything's going to end and it's super dark and dark and dark, imagine, just as a thought experiment, that any decision you make, you have to live for all eternity. So you're going to die and you're going to get born again, and all the decisions that you make on every single moment, you're going to have to keep doing over and over and over and over again.
Well, what
how
if you
would
learn
that
from
affect
them?
Your decision making?
What if you learn from them?
Well, you do, but how quickly do you want to learn? Do you want to be able to like look back and you know be 78 and be like, oh, I learned this, this, and this? Or like, do you want to be able to be like, oh, I did everything to like the full, like it's kind of just like,
totally.
Yeah, just going for it. It's a really nice idea. I don't think I really believe it.
I do. But
do you do it?
It's very nice. I try to. I try to keep it in my mind and be like, oh, if I have to do this again, I've already done enough bad decisions. I should probably try to do the right decision now, if only if I'm stuck with myself for a long time. But it's really fun. It's
but
a nice
only
thing
if
to think
you're
about.
Stuck with yourself for a long time.
Yeah, because it's like I gotta figure this out. Because what if I end up having to do it all over again? I'm like, oh, crap, him again.
Yeah, mine is more like a no regrets thing because I just hate fucking up. Like I just hate making mistakes, and I also have a fear of being in trouble. Still, he'll tell you like if I did something that I like think. Like, if I drop something in the grocery store and it breaks, I get so fucking scared that I'm going to be in trouble that I run out the store.
Really?
Like, I just can't handle being in trouble.
You know, I don't have that in many public areas, but at the Valley Folk, we get really loud, and yeah. if the neighbor, we have a neighbor who's a child psychologist, and he does testing on kids to see if they have ADHD, and then next door is four of the most insane people that I've ever known, myself included, and we get real loud and silly, and then when they come over and they're like, hey, you're being kind of loud, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't feel like, and I feel very like, I feel like a kid in trouble, but it's also because we're playing and making, like, trying to make funny shit happen, and so whenever it like gets caught, it's like oh sorry. But yeah, that's where I have that like still weird fear of authority where I'm like, I don't
totally
know. Well, and it's weird because the stakes are pretty high there because you're actually messing with the development of children.
Yeah, we could actually scar disruption. Somebody for life. There is that.
So interesting.
So anyway, we got married around the age of or at the age of 20. We had the same birthday. We moved to Los Angeles after college. She started doing casting. Yeah, the divorce happened, and now I'm here. And
So
would she cast you in something now?
Well, she kind of did. She went on an e-reality show called Revenge Body that she wanted me to go on.
Oh, really?
With Khloe Kardashian.
Not to brag.
Did she get a revenge body? And were you super pissed?
She got revenge bodied on me. She got her revenge bodied on me. I don't know how. I don't know what their vernacular is.
Yeah, I gotcha.
No, I love revenge.
And were you pissed?
I love getting a revenge bod.
Yeah, man. Here's the thing. I've talked about this a little bit, but like, I think. This is my experience with it. I was definitely the perpetrator. Definitely did not handle the situation well. I don't know if you guys have ever done a divorce just as your first go around. Or just in general. Or exit something. It was like I blew the whole thing up. Like I just took my entire life and I was like, well, I don't know how to get out of this. And I just detonated the whole thing, made a bunch of mistakes. And as a result, I was sort of like consumed with guilt for a very long time. And part of that was when I got this call and she was like, hey, I did this reality show. And we weren't like officially divorced at the time. I was like, oh, shit. And so then I was like, well, let's see what this is going to be. And she kind of, you know, she was like, I want you to come be on this thing. I feel like, you know, I supported you. And I was like, all right. And I did it out of like guilt. And then that was like, of all the things, the regrets, that's the one where I'm like, God dang it, Elliot. You couldn't have just not gone.
Your only contribution to that show is her walking out from a curtain and then you sitting there looking like an asshole while she has a hot bod, like all greased up and shit, right?
Yeah.
That's it. It's not like you get to do bits or anything.
Yeah.
You just sit there and you're supposed to like have your head down.
Wait, do you get to defend yourself?
Nothing like that. But there was, even if it's best that they hadn't put me in that position because I would have self-effaced.
Or you could have walked out. You could have been like, nah, she looks like shit, and then walked out of there. That would have been pretty good.
So I did my last stand-up hour ends with this tale, but essentially what happens was kind of that. Like I walked in and there was a chair with like my name on it, and then I sat down and there was like a light on the stage that was pointed directly at me, and then there's all these cameras everywhere. I just signed an agreement in perpetuity, and I'm like, it's fine, whatever. And I'm sitting there. This thing happens. It's fine. It's what it is. I was kind of like, oh, this is like sweet. Like it's a good, it's a positive. It's sort of like, it was sort of like a self-helpy kind of vibe, you know, and like all that. And it's to her credit, she was, you know, very sweet. I go to leave, and they're like, "Hey, can we get a shot of you like hugging your ex?" You know, and I was like, "Okay," and we did it, and then I was like, "Okay," I was like, "I did this thing." I smiled. I was like, "I'm absolved."
Yeah, you played nice.
I'm gonna drink now. Thank you.
I was like, "I'm gonna go get very drunk," and then I go and I'm beelining out, and then the executive producer runs after me. And she's like, "Ellie," she's like, "Do you mind if we do it again? That shot wasn't very good." And I was like, "Listen to me." I was like, "I don't want." I was like, "I feel." I was like, this is very stressful. And I was like, this is an incredibly weird experience. I was like, I don't want to fake anything. And I remember using that language, being like, I just don't want to like do something that's like not, you know,
not genuine.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah. And as I'm telling this to her, she's got her little headset on and her clipboard. I look around and there's like cameras that have been like hiding outside. Oh. There's one like behind the van and behind the street. And they're like filming me. And I see, and I'm like, oh no. Like if I say that I don't want to shoot this thing again, they could edit this to make me look like I'm just like no or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I was like, let's do it. And so we ended up basically like performing a scene on like Santa Monica Boulevard. And then I think that's when my brain broke for a little while.
Gotcha.
And that was the worst part of the experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, people do things.
Wow. That didn't happen in my worst breakup. So that's. I feel like I got out pretty good.
I love the conceit of the concept of the show, though, where the idea that it's like, we're over, we're done. It's like, oh, but that butt is back. Okay, yeah.
No, but you know what, though?
It does presuppose shallow reasons for the departure of the party. Yeah,
you only departed because she got flabby on you or whatever.
But you're thinking about it from a guy's perspective.
Okay, true.
And it's marketed towards women. And women, like, the number one thing we, like, after a breakup, if we get dumped, we want to fucking look hot as fuck, so then we could be like, fuck you, I'm so much better. And so you're marketing to a bunch of women that are going through a breakup that want to feel like, yeah, fuck that guy, I'm so much hotter without him. And I tell you, like, it feels fucking good. It feels good to look hot after a breakup.
I went to, was doing a stand-up tour on, like, the East Coast, no, the West Coast. That's the one we're on. It was in Seattle. I could have just said Seattle. I was in Seattle, and we did a stand-up show, me and Mike Falzone, and after it was done, people came up to me, and these two women came up to me, and they were, like, middle-aged. I was like, what's going on here? Like, this isn't like a YouTube.
These aren't my demographic.
Yeah, and these women in there, one of them was like, do you know what we know you from? And I was like,
no.
I don't know, SourceFed.
Probably.
I don't know. Was it Mashable's fucking, who knows? They were like, we stay on Revenge by. And I was like, oh, cool. And they were like, we wanted to come see if you were really an asshole. And I was like, well, what's your assessment? I was like, I'm really dying to know. And they're like, you're not an asshole at all. You're, like, really nice. And it was super fun. Like, enjoyed it. And then since then, they've been, like, following everything I do. They're like,
that's great.
I was like, it's worth it.
That's a conversion. You just converted.
That's your all revenge
that
matters. Bod.
Yeah, I put that in my deck.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's in my social media stats. Good. I converted some of E's audience.
Exactly.
I guess my worst breakup, I mean, the first one's always really hard, but we weren't married, so it was way less hard than that.
I mean, I remember high school breakups, I mean, that would be the only other time, but that would be, as far as, are you thinking high school? Like,
oh, that was, high school, but that was
that's
like...
That's the transformative one, I think.
Yeah, but I think the hardest one was probably the one where I got cheated on, and that was just painful because... With each one, I like to, we're like, what did I learn during it? Even though I'm like, my heart is ripped into a million pieces. But that one, it's like, oh, I learned to set boundaries. Like, because I let it go way too long. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the kind of person that if I love somebody, I'm like, ooh, they'll get better. Like, I've seen them be awesome. So if we could just make them awesome more of the time than when they're not awesome or when they're being an asshole, then all... disregard all of these red flags just because I know that like really cool part's in there, so I'll just wait, and I'll just like let them walk all over me while like I wait, and I think that like after that breakup I was just more mad at myself for like letting it go too long, and I knew this was going to happen, but I was like, no, I can make it not happen. You know, I can make him not cheat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, there's also, I like that. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a very nice, I think that's very relatable, and I understand what you're saying. It's the like, stories. There's a lot of stories.
Yeah.
I remember after the divorce being like, I had a fun moment when, it was like last week, I was with a buddy of mine. It was his birthday. We were at Tiki No. You guys been to Tiki No?
No.
Classic no. Place.
Tiki Bar in North Hollywood, really cool.
Oh, and, I've seen that. The one that looks like a barrel?
No, you're thinking Idle Hour.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But Tiki No looks like a black den. It's really cool. You guys
I
want to
go. I'm writing it down.
No.
How do you read
put it down for
Thursday.
Yeah,
NoHo. Okay.
You're in this town, so it shouldn't be too far. So anyway, we were there, and I remember there was this guy who was there who I hadn't seen in years, and he was like, basically what happened was, following the divorce, it was like, obviously, you know, you lose the wife and everything, and then you lose the dog and the home and the money and all that crap, and then everything goes to shit, and it's terrible. But part of what you also lose is, like, a circle of friends. Like, you guys are married, and if you were to get divorced, it becomes a freaking heyday.
I would take all the friends.
You'd
easily.
You'd be surprised.
Take all the cats.
You'd be surprised how
all the
it divides
kitties.
Up. Yeah.
And all the friends' kitties.
Mm-hmm. And it might also depend on who perpetrates, you know, the action. And so what basically happened in my scenario is because I had... cheated, and that came to light, and that was a whole ordeal. When that happened, it was like the dividing line happened, and all the friends sort of like, some people were like, okay, Elliot, like, what's going, like, let's have some conversation, and then other people were like, F him, he just, you know, wants to draw all that shit. And so it just became this like very polarizing experience. And I lost, like, particularly one dude I really liked, but I saw him the other week and I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, this is going to be great. I was like, I can't wait.
You're going to become a revenge body.
I was like, yeah. I was like, this, let's see what happens. And I was like, I wonder if he's going to bring anything up. I was like, I'm totally chill. Like, it is what it is. But, you know, it was definitely like, I definitely had some level of resentment about being like, you just like completely wrote me off. Like, I get being upset, but like, and for sure, like, F me and F that action and F all that shit, but like, it's terrible stuff. But like, just to completely be like, well, this guy for years. And
do you think he was one of the guys like waiting in the wings?
Yeah, for your wife. Give me a fucking break.
Like, that, okay.
No, he was married. It was the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
oh, so his wife is on team. Oh, give me a break. Of course.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Got
which
it.
Is fine too.
If he's a because single you guy, have though, to. Shady.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be very super shady. Yeah, so anyway, then this experience happens or whatever, but it was like this very beautiful moment in one way because it was like when you go through these things, like in my mind, I spent years being like you're saying, kind of telling these stories. I remember being like, well, what happened was it was a codependent, narcissistic relationship.
And, that's what I was in.
Sure, yeah, and you can, it's a very common thing.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. And so then it's like, well, that means that I'm this and that person's this. And you kind of chalk everybody up to these labels and you tell yourself all this stuff. And at the end of the day, it's like sometimes this shit just doesn't work and
totally.
Falls apart. And you make a bad decision.
But you learn from
move
it.
Move on, yeah.
That's still,
I do think you
wait,
learn
so
a lot.
So what happened
yeah.
with the guy? I want to know.
Yeah, what happened with the guy?
Guys.
He's still married
did
to the
cry?
Chick.
Did you make
They're
him
still
cry?
Still mad at you? Is that it?
It was here's the thing I think that happens sometimes with, and I find it more often than not in dudes when we're like we tend to kind of be like let's talk about this situation.
Yes,
like,
I can't wait
that
to talk
kind
about
of guy
it.
To guy like hey let's clear the air kind of thing, and in that sort of dude way where it's like hey look, and so I saw him attempt to do that, and it was this interesting moment where I learned a lot about myself, but it was basically like there wasn't quite. It was kind of an acknowledgement, but sort of just like, you know, what can you do? And I was kind of like, this is still not working for me. But then I remember letting him off the hook in the conversation and being like, oh, it's fine, man. It's fine. Whatever. And I like went to the bathroom and then I was like, no, I was like, I got way more shit to say.
Nice.
This is like years of. Yeah, it was a nice moment. I was like, I'm not going to go out there gunslinging. I was like, but if the opportunity arises, I was like, I'm going to talk to this dude. And
you're
so
stilted. He hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was pissed. And I was like, definitely. Yeah. After that, like, kind of pseudo, like, I'm going to bring up the issue, but not really
yeah.
dive
yeah,
in.
That's
and, like,
the man way.
Yeah, and I was like, that's not good. And so, lo and behold, the whole night goes on. It's super fun, and we're drinking and smoking and all this stuff, and then we're eating pizza. And so it's the end of the night, and everyone clears out, and it's just me and the dude. And I'm like, hey, man, I appreciate you, you know, bringing everything up earlier. I do want to say that, like, when that and the moment like I started to go into it, the eye contact like darted around and like
oh,
it became
shit.
This like it's fine, throw it away.
Yep.
It's fine. We don't even talk about it. And I was like,
cover,
cool,
suppress,
man.
Suppress
yeah.
feelings.
And I was like, all right. I was like, cool. Like I tried. I was like, you're not gonna do it. I'm not gonna like put your hand on the oven or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a very nice like. Moment of kind of deep breathing, being like, okay, you're not able to have this conversation.
Oh, I fucking live for those uncomfortable moments.
Yeah,
that's
felt
blast.
Good. It felt like, like a kind of uncomfortable that was like, I know you're uncomfortable.
Yeah,
right?
But
and I know why.
You feel
and I know,
victory through it.
Yeah.
I love
like,
that.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Follow that feeling. Anyway, so
that's
all
great.
Fun.
But well, now that you're Elliot Morgan, once a cheater, always a cheater, as you said, mm-hmm. right? Because people do that shit. People are like, you are now monikered cheater.
I'm insatiable.
So now if you're in a, exactly. So now if you're in a new thing, what's the explanation? Are you like, look, that was a part of me that is not now, and I'm not a cheater person? Because there's such a fucking label around all that.
Yeah, I just tell them straight up. I'm like, I'm not, you can't hold me back, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
You can't hold this.
I'm
is,
always looking.
Dude, I'm a lion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to, I'm out on the prairie. No, I just, I don't, I say what it is. I'm like, I don't, yeah.
Do you find that now, I guess, so for the first time in your adult life, the past couple of years has been like your first foray into dating.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Is it strange like starting over? And do you see like more of the same patterns coming up now that you have like something to compare to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To answer that question. And then also, what a fun question. These are fun questions, guys. To go back to yours just for a second, it's never been a problem. It's never been.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's always, I'd be weirded out if somebody was like, you did. Like, it's a conversation. I would talk about it, but it's not like, I don't define my actions by, or my general demeanor by it. I don't think anybody.
Well, no, not that you would. That's like mm-hmm. one of those fucking monikers or brands that get like slapped on somebody.
Some people have, yeah, they get harmed and then they're more reactive yes. to that kind of thing, and they get hurt and then they sort of they can kind of project whatever they've been through yeah. onto my actions. And there's nothing I can really do about that. So it kind of comes out in the wash.
I think if it's all in the open ahead, like in the beginning, like, hey, I've done this in my past, is it cool? And the other person's like, yeah, that's cool. And they accept it. Then it's not on you anymore. Like,
yeah. Like, and it's also
there should
like,
be a trust of like a clean slate.
Right. And I would never say I take like pride, but I will say I take a lot of pride in like where I'm at now. And I wouldn't be like, it's a good, speaking of learning stuff, yeah. like the whole, it's a beautiful learning experience to go through something like that. Cause it's like, oh, I was like, the how dark it was when that was crazy. And now it's like, I get to be, I like love life so much. And it's a wonderful thing, but not, I wouldn't have had that perspective and all that. So, you know, you kind of
yeah.
paint yourself a little story.
Sure.
It helps you sleep at night.
That's great.
What were you saying though, Nikki?
We're going to answer those questions after the break.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hello, hope you enjoyed the podcast so far. We're taking a break to talk more to you about our podcast.
If you're enjoying the podcast, you should rate it 5 stars because that really helps us out a whole bunch.
It does help us out a lot. If you rate and review us, we would love you. We love you for doing that. Thank you for listening. This is a CastBox original produced in partnership with Studio 71. CastBox is awesome. We love them.
They're the dopest, most sickest company on the earth, in my opinion.
It sounds like I'm trying to induct you into a cult, but no, we really just really like the app. It's great.
Listen, if cults were as good as the CastBox app, yeah, guess what?
Get it.
Everyone
get the
would
name
be in
right.
cults.
You'd be kicked out of this cult.
Every
this
single
cult.
Person would be in cults.
It's a terrible
if they're
cult
as good
leader.
As this app is, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
But unfortunately, they're not, which is why you should probably stay away from
cults.
Can
you pass some of that Kool-Aid over here?
It's delicious. Try. So we get a lot of questions about this because we've had a particular guest on recently, and people want to know, where do you get the episodes? Well, you can get Revenge Bod, the entire series, from the E! Channel. You can get all of it now for $24.95. They happen to sponsor the show today, so we wanted to just give a huge shout out to them. If you use the coupon code Elliot Morgan, looking like a doof, because there's a particular scene of Elliot on the show where he's looking like a real doof. They got him real. Got
I
a real
look
close
like a doof.
Shot.
I look cool the entire time.
They got a real close. Elliot, the sponsor doesn't want you to say
that was a clip from.
Yeah, that was
Chloe. Hey.
So yeah, if you want to check that out, we got the whole season $24.95. Just go to the website and use the code Elliot Morgan, looking like a doof.
What? It's never $24.95, is it?
Two L's and two T's.
Can you believe it?
Never $24.95.
It's absolutely $24.95.
You're still in the bit. But yeah, this is supposed to be like night. Have you seen any of these things that are $24.95?
Yeah. Have you watched a lot of late night Comedy Central lately?
No.
They have all kinds of pocket flashlights for
$24.95. It's a very comparable price to other shows, Elliot. Okay.
We'll have you know.
Our sponsor.
Yeah. Elliot coming on dissing sponsor. Can you believe that?
Can you believe that?
We're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about MeUndies.
You know, your parking today was brought to you by this sponsor. So
you'd
be
thankful. By GoPro.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Hey, thanks for that.
Yeah, so what I was asking about patterns and stuff that you learn from relationships, because what I didn't realize is after going through like my third serious relationship that and getting my heart broken like crazy, I keep a daily journal. And so I went back through all of my 15 years of daily journals.
Wow.
and just went to like the breakup parts and realized I was saying the same exact things. Like, I didn't know that I had such a strong pattern because in my mind, they were completely different guys. But really, when it came down to, there were certain red flags that I guess subconsciously I'm kind of attracted to. Like, all of the guys that I would get in serious relationships had depression. And, like, I have depression. But if someone else has depression, I, like, will try to be strong for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then what would happen is, like, we would bring each other down, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things. Another thing was that, like, I just date compulsive liars. Like I don't know, something about, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know why. But I would always, like, do this detective work, and I would catch them in their lies. And that was a repeating pattern for me. Like, why is that part of every relationship I have? And so I think what was helpful in those breakups was realizing those patterns and then being like, okay, from here on out, I'm going to break these patterns. Like, I will not settle for this or this or this. And if these flags come up, no matter how much I'm attracted to this guy or how much I'm like, oh, this feels right, I'm going to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got tested. Like, I ended up dating, I went on, like, I had never dated in my 20s until the end of my last relationship. And I was like, I'm going to be single for a long time. I'm going to try this dating thing out. And then I ended up lasting like 8 months before Steve and I started dating. But during that time,
eight months is a pretty extensive amount.
Yeah, after being a serial monogamous for 7 years, mm-hmm. totally. And yeah, I learned some things. So that happened a few times where I was like, oh, totally a guy that I would normally date. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just... cut it.
Old familiar.
Cut it up. Yeah. Like, no, you're great in my stupid brain right now.
Yeah.
But I know that these are the flags that I'm being tested for. So I think that that's one helpful thing from breakups is that you're not really supposed to be with that person. If you're getting broken up with, or if you're feeling like you need to break up with someone, that's just a cool sign from the universe that's like, hey, this isn't your person.
And also positive, having a clean slate too, like what we were saying about, you know, wants to cheat and all that shit. Like, actually affording someone a clean slate is, I think, so important. But a lot of people don't do that.
A lot of people like to play. What do you do?
Hard to get.
That's a good one. They do, but the
people do play that
charades.
No, when you two swing words. From one the monkey bars.
Monkey bars, yeah.
Like, you swing, you're already grabbing hold of the next monkey bar before you let go of the other monkey bar, because what happens if you let go of the monkey bar and there's not another monkey bar waiting for you, and then you fall to your death and you got to start all over again, you got to do something like that.
Fall to your death? Well, you do the death swing,
you
bro?
Keep your eyes
what
open.
What kind of monkey bars were you on as a kid? Holy shit.
And then there's padding under there.
Have some mulch under there.
I have mulch. Well, it's the rubber.
6 foot max on my monkey bars.
6 foot. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you just like to basically...
I like to walk
hold
it.
Horizontal.
Yeah.
I like to walk it.
You like your ladders horizontal.
You're like a
I was 6 foot
that.
When I was 11, so I was walking that thing early.
You were 6 foot when you were 11?
Yeah.
Wow.
I bet that formed a lot of who you are as a human being.
I'm sure. Surely.
Because I was a very late bloom.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was like 9th, 10th grade. I was like 14, 15, and then I started shooting up.
Well, yeah, when are you going to shoot up, you think? Because, my God, I mean.
I know,
okay,
I'm 5'4".
Let's define shooting up. This
are you 5'4"?
Very negative
heroin.
Connotations.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not 5'4". How tall are you?
6'2". Right...
Okay, I can't tell. When people are smaller than me, I just think they're
all
small.
You're like real tall, right?
Yeah, I'm 6'4". And
that's
a half.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
And a half.
You guys want to take your dick off, too?
Look at me. And a half.
And a half.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Way bigger than you, pal. Way bigger than you, pal.
So participate.
Are you a monkey bar swinger?
No, but people do that.
Yeah, they do.
No.
Great.
No, but he's saying people blame the each other for the failings of their exes.
Oh, I was thinking it's like when I felt like a breakup was coming on, that's when all these like scandalous texts to other
that's
girls.
Right.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they, like he was locking down a new girl before breaking up with me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Such a defensive move.
Yeah. Well, dang. And also like that's someone that's not comfortable with being alone. Like, honestly, I love my alone time. I love being with Steve, but I like really like being alone. Like, that's how I charge, and I appreciate the world more when I'm alone. So when I was single, I was just like so stoked to be alone a lot.
I appreciate the world more when I'm not in it.
I like doing like stupid artsy things like doodling and like working out alone and like things like and drinking.
Yeah, I have a great time by myself. I have I have a wonderful time. Left my own devices.
Me too. I love
a room. You guys could walk out of here.
Yeah.
Leave me for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
What about without your phone?
I will stare at the ceiling 100%. I swear to God.
Right.
Swear to God.
I want to see this because that's so interesting to me.
I will literally sit in like. I really don't have.
You can just amuse yourself with like just chairing and shit.
Yeah, I can go real. But that's also like I think my brain is slightly obsessive, so it can go into very like.
That's exactly what happens.
Laser focus in on
sometimes
something.
Sometimes I'm just in the kitchen staring at a blank wall for 45 minutes and he's like has to interrupt me.
Oh yeah. I'll interrupt her whatever the fuck she's doing and all of a sudden she like reboots like a computer. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting.
Yeah. So I did not mind being alone and I even remember my ex, like I saw him after like 6 months. I was like, oh yeah, I was just going through a breakup and he's like, wait, you just broke up with somebody? And I'm like, we just broke up. He was like, oh, you haven't dated anyone new? I'm like, no. Mm. Like, no, I really don't get involved in like a serious relationship where I'm calling someone my boyfriend or my girlfriend unless like I really see a future with them.
Sure.
So like going out to dinner to me, that's not a relationship. That's like, I don't have to break up. There's just, you just don't talk to them again or whatever if it didn't work out. But like, yeah, an actual relationship, I guess I just, I'd rather be single forever and be happy than being in like some weird relationship that's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good starting place.
Yeah. So
nice
people that
foundation.
Monkey bar people, I don't understand them. I'm like,
yeah, I mean,
take
I get the tendency.
The
I've seen clearly, I can understand it, but yeah, no, it's not, no way to be. Not fun.
The mentality though is like, they don't want to have anything serious because they're too afraid of the serious. So then they just they keep it light.
Oh, that's another thing I wanted to talk about is that is walls. Because I think that's something that they don't tell you and that a lot of people experience is, you know, the whole like taking things from a previous relationship and then projecting that what you thought the monkey bars was originally.
Yes.
And it creates walls. And then when things start getting serious, you're like, oh no, I've gone through this before and I got really hurt. And so you're like, and you fight it.
Like you're on a jungle gym.
And I just don't subscribe to that philosophy. I just am like, after a few breakups, I was like, you know what? I don't want to carry it with me that I feel bad for loving somebody. Like that, you know, some people are like, oh, I wish I never loved them, or like, I take it back, you know, whatever. I just am like, I'm gonna love freely, and if I get hurt again, that's just part of what that is. But if you really, really love somebody, then it's worth the hurt again, you know?
True, but if they hurt you or wrong you,
yeah, then they're done.
Then they're done, bro.
But I'm talking about projecting like...
And I don't like them anymore.
Right.
Is that okay?
No, yeah. I'm talking about if you...
People forget that you're allowed to not like people.
Yeah, yes, right. What's wrong with that? And what's with this I wish them well bullshit?
No.
I don't wish them well.
Dude, I
wish that nice people will be well. Not bad people who cheat and bad people.
I don't
people.
Wish anyone well.
Not people who cheat,
I wish
Elliot.
Everyone... No, I know, yeah.
But I'm like, hey, I did what I had to do.
Because I got cheated on, Elliot, so I'm going to take it on you right now, okay?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I read this tweet from... I got so excited about what you just brought up, Steve, that I hit my eye in my contact.
I'm so sorry.
So I can
really
kind of see
right?
you guys.
Tough time.
So I read this tweet from her, Anna Kana, who I don't know. We met a couple
Shout
times.
Out. Whoop, whoop.
I know Anna. We know Anna.
And she did this tweet that was like very, very interesting, but it was like, what's up with men not being able to be emotionally available? And she was like, not bad people, just can't be there for serious medical situations and are opt to be emotionally vacant or something like that. And I was like, those are bad people. That's
a
bad person.
That's a bad people.
And it was like, I was like, oh, we do live in this era right now where it's like, we got to prove to each other that we know that everyone has their own little stories and like that there's reasons people do what we do. But at the same time, I'm like, no, that it's okay to just be like, F that person.
Yeah.
I've had people be like, F Elliot. And I'm like, all right, fair dues,
feels
man.
Feels good.
Yeah. And so it's like, that's part of life, but we hesitate because it's like, we got to be nice to everybody.
Yeah. What's their sound of the story? All the shit from the children's books growing up. But I don't think it's necessarily helpful.
It's really, cause you got to go through like the emotional, like being broken up, like you're on your own path. You're on your own like processing. And then all of a sudden this person clearly doesn't know like whatever timeline you're on. So you're having to go through this whole thing and then having to go through that whole emotional process. And then the whole time be woke and like smart is just not a realistic thing. Like, you get petty, you creep, you send texts too late at night. Like, you do stupid shit, and I think we should give ourselves leeway
permission
to do that.
That's why I found that overly considerate people are some of the most passive aggressive people I've ever known.
Because
they just won't like shut people down or go like, hey, I found out through this process that you're not the best person to be around, so see ya. Mm-hmm. Instead, they just have a bunch of weird friends that they don't even necessarily like, but because they try to consider everything.
Yeah.
What about your best breakups? Do you have any amicable breakups that are like, hey, that
top
was
five breakups.
Ellie. I've pretty nice, nice, pretty nice breakup.
I've had a nice experience.
Got some real good ones.
Good breakups? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that any of them necessarily ever feel
like
great.
Like just a clean.
Yeah, there's been some clean ones.
Yeah. Because I like those. It makes
but
me go.
Never full on like relationship clean where there wasn't like, not emotionally clean. Maybe surface level sort of like.
Yeah.
We are all saying the right things right now. And we are saying we are being smart and kind and we will be able to not talk too much shit about the other one. Okay,
this
great.
This is so amicable. It could not be more amicable.
Yeah, this is what the therapy is paying for. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was but then you still go home and you process it in your own way. And I don't know. I mean I can't think of anything off the top of my head that makes me go like, wow, we really nailed that. But
I think one of mine was just like it was like no hard feelings or whatever. The only weird part was like, oh, now I'm just alone. Like they were kind of like my like
so
anyone,
hard feelings.
Well, no, it's like they were my best friend and now I lost a best friend too.
Oh yeah, that's
the worst. That would be the worst.
Like
yeah.
I still wanted to be best friends but not date, but then there was still romantic feelings on their end, so it's like we can't be
Ellie,
best
were you ever like to your ex-wife, were you ever like, hey, how come we're not best friends anymore?
That actually we kind of were. That was
really?
Yeah, okay. Like we never didn't get along. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we got along in the sense of like I was incredibly unhappy and mind-bogglingly discontent in the marriage. But not that excuses anything. But it seemed to fall into discontent.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. I hear what I'm saying too.
Yeah.
yeah. But anyway, that was the worst part. That's what if we're doing the podcast of like stuff they don't tell you, I feel like the stuff they don't tell you is what sucks is losing your best friends.
Yes.
That's the worst part about breaking up. I get that like we don't want to be alone, but I don't mind being alone. And so like that part I can deal with. It's just like I miss the people. So that's
I didn't mind being alone romantically, but I missed the friendship because it was like all of our inside jokes can't do those anymore. Like anything that like we built friendship-wise is also gone with the relationship, which that sucks. And then the friend circle thing that you were talking about where—
Oh, yeah, totally. And then you gotta just, it's messy. It gets gross.
Yeah.
Especially
us, like we have all the same friends because we met through our friend circle.
Sure. Yep.
So it's like,
I had an inside joke with one of my exes that I liked so much that I introduced it into my new relationship. not with you, Nikki.
Okay.
But because I just liked the inside joke so much and it gave me such a tickle. That I introduced it into my other relationship.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid, yeah.
Did she know? Did she know?
No. Heavens no. I didn't tell her.
What's the inside joke?
I don't even remember, honestly.
Yeah, you do. You just don't
I really
say
don't.
It.
I honestly don't. It was so like it was like 10 years ago.
You know what it is? He probably introduced it to our relationship, too.
No,
and
I
he's
didn't
like,
know.
He doesn't
this was
say
a decade
it.
Ago, yeah. Easily.
You better make something up.
I've been with you for 5 years.
I'm going to try a spot.
Yeah.
When you when you do a little like.
It's like when we went to the. Like Portos on Magnolia, am I right?
Like, that's the one.
I saw that.
You told him the Portos joke?
No, yeah, exactly. No, I didn't. He figured it out.
No. It was Angie he told the Portos joke to. That's where it originated.
That's my next question is, do you feel like you can be friends with your exes?
Oh, yeah. This has been a controversial thing.
I don't know.
I mean, not with us. We are on the
Elliot?
Same page.
We're all different like snowflakes and we're all different clusters of stardust. So like, I think that probably some people can. Yeah. I mean, I think definitely friendly. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. It's, I don't know.
In general, do you think?
I've seen it.
You know what?
Yeah.
Don't we have enough friends?
Tell
anyway?
Me about it.
Yes.
Every time I've seen this shit,
why
where it's like,
more?
No, I really am best friends with my ex, and it's all chill. They always act like they're like a Mormon couple around each other. Like it's the most fucking washed through, like fake, like pretend, like overly enthusiastic, so good to see you, all this shit.
Yeah, it's she doth protest too much.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, why are you saying it so much if you guys are that? If you're getting coffee on a Sunday morning, why do you need to tell me that you got along with your ex? It almost makes me think that deep down you don't, or that if you do, you're doing it so that you can now tell me about it.
Yes.
It's a whole other thing where we make decisions so that later we can be like, well, you know, and it's like, that's too much for me. I feel like if I have good, close friends, and I feel like if I meet people and they're cool, they can be friends and we're friends, but I don't like...
You don't need more people in this little circle.
Yeah. I'm not walking around being like, God, I wish I had more people to do things with. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure you guys cancel on people all the time, and it's like...
Oh, I fucking love it.
And I feel guilty, too, because so we can't even... Like, we want to keep up more time with these people, mm-hmm. and then it's like, oh, no.
I mean, I think it's a nice sentiment, and I hope people always try to, like, be sweet and loving in every step of the process, but to put this sort of, like... pressure on it to be friends and to be like whatever, and it's like this is a part of it. Sometimes it sucks, sometimes you
I
feel
think it's
awkward.
People that need their ego stroked,
yeah, right,
need,
yeah, it,
like,
it seems
need attention
to be.
And need their ego stroked. That's I mean honestly that's what I think it is.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe I don't know, I know that I function too like obsessively to really do that. I think if people do, I don't know, I mean I guess yeah it could work. I mean I don't look at I guess I don't see
no.
it and necessarily not believe it until they start.
All of my shade
wait,
to them.
Oh, wait. Can I set parameters, though? Because if you're single and still talking to your exes, I think it's a little different than if you're in a new relationship and still, like, friends with your exes.
I think it's a bothy.
Right?
What was Elliot saying?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, I always hesitate to be like, I can only speak from knowing what would probably work with me. And I know that I don't know that. Like, I remember when
the divorce happened.
We would do shared custody of the puppy. And after a while, it was like, I just felt like it was more painful for my ex to do these like puppy drop-offs than it was worth me seeing the dog. And so I was like, okay. And I just kind of quietly backed out of seeing the dog anymore. But I remember just being like, sure, we could. Like, surface level, the interactions were always very pleasant and very sweet and very like, you know, kind of pleasant sometimes, but then I think that like it's still you could still or at least I could see some kind of real pain happening and I was like, well,
if one person still has feelings or resentment
something.
Or whatever
they're still just like we're all processing things at different rates, and so it's like, but if both have processed and both are in good places, why not fucking
sure.
be friends? Like we're all stuck here on this goddamn in this hellhole city for too long anyway.
True. I don't know. I think I'm too petty for that, but
I'm definitely too petty.
Yeah.
I'm too petty or maybe too,
headstrong, petty. I'm too,
keep going.
Small.
Wow. I never get to hear
small,
you talk about,
I think for this
maybe,
kind of a thing. Yeah.
Small,
immature.
Small, possessive.
Big
maybe?
Time. Definitely possessive.
I get possessive.
Definitely
I'm
possessive.
I'm so glad this is recorded.
I'm so possessive over Nikki. It actually scares me sometimes.
Yeah.
I have
Isn't
dreams.
Isn't that crazy when you have thoughts and you're like, where did that come from?
Yep.
But you know what I like? You don't act possessive. Cause
no, I don't.
I very much feel so independent in this relationship, more so than any other relationship, which makes me feel stronger as a couple.
Yeah.
That he values my independence as much as like
extremely. It's
I
just all in my head
for
though.
His. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
In my head, you have
which
no.
I,
one.
But
learned.
I honestly, I like that because I feel like I've been in relationships where they didn't give a shit. Like I had this one boyfriend that loved seeing other guys flirt with me and like not tell them that he was with me. And because he just liked seeing them like, get rejected
that's
and shit.
That's genuinely weird.
And I was like,
I mean,
this
makes
like me feel...
if that's like a sexual thing, then that's kind of like...
It makes me feel not safe. It makes me feel not safe.
Yeah.
And so I like that you, if some guy is like kind of hitting on me, you like put your arm around me.
Yeah.
You know, like it just makes me feel more like...
I think there is a sweetness to it, I think. That I don't shy away from.
As long as
it's
not like, you can't talk to these people, or I saw you flirting with this girl, you know, if there's
fucking
trust
never.
There,
nah, yeah.
then I think that that it's fine. But yeah, as far as being friends with exes, I definitely don't have a problem never talking to my exes again.
Same. I actually get off on it. because it's fun.
The silence turns
I just
on.
Don't, I'm not interested in whatever they're up to. I just don't care. It's not even like a shade thing. It's just like, I don't care. I don't look at Instagram or I just am one of those people where when I move on, like when you blow it up, I blow it up and I don't look at the explosion.
Yeah,
I walk away.
I think it's very rare to hear. I would agree for the most part. I don't. Yeah. I do. Obviously, there's exceptions that happen, but like generally, I've never done like never
the stalking
thing. The stalking thing. I've never done it.
Why put yourself through it? Yeah. I don't get
right.
it.
It's
do you
weird.
Do that, Nick? Or have you done it in the past?
I think when I when I first if I got dumped or if it was like a bad breakup or whatever, mm-hmm. I would stalk not stalk, but I would check their Instagrams or their social media. Just to prove that my life was better than theirs.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was almost like I just needed to see that they were having a shit time in their life.
That's pretty good.
And then that.
I like how small that is. I like
but
that.
But I also.
That's nice. Yeah, that's one of those good ones.
Yeah.
But I also, like, blocked them after that.
Sure.
You know, it's not like I kept going. What I don't like is when they're in pictures of mutual friends. So that pops up on my feed. I'm just like, oh my mm-hmm. God, like I wasn't prepared for that. So I've started muting people on my Instagram.
The history of humankind, except for our generation, has had to deal with that very, very strange phenomenon of like, having such a powerful image. Like that's a powerful image to see your ex. Like
yes.
If it's in any way, like if it happens, it's like, this is going to affect me somehow. And to have no real control over it, like you can block, you can mute, you can unfollow, you can do whatever. But like, you're probably going to see them. And when it does, you're going to have to feel that feeling of like, ah, yeah, there they are. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then it's always just like, do they look happy? Do they look happy? good.
And of course, they're not going to post pictures of themselves being unhappy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's not ever. Never satisfying as I want it to mm-hmm. be.
It's also interesting too, because we actually have this interesting thing. Where you're buds with one of my ex's ex. Steve and my ex mm-hmm. were together for like a while.
25 years, yeah.
Forever.
25 years.
But then there's this thing too where it's like if I see Steve somewhere, like I'm chill and Steve's chill. We've always just been chill to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just this weird unspoken thing of like, hello.
We have shared a girl.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just like a gentlemanly fucking weird.
Hello. Yep.
Yeah, understanding, but fine. But it's like chill.
Yeah.
But it's just such an
perfect.
Odd.
It's
fucking
perfect.
Human
it's
thing.
It's exactly
yeah.
what it needs
yeah.
to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That moment of just like, yeah.
Yeah, because a couple years ago, I was in Phil's office for whatever. I was just there visiting. And then I saw him, and then we had that moment of like, hello. But it's always been chill.
Yeah, it's always been chill.
There's nothing.
You guys are
there's
nice.
Nothing.
It's never like,
yeah,
it's never like, you know. Steven, and he's like, Steven.
So weird.
Yeah.
Zaragoza, green.
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't know. It's fucking bizarre how we all are. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're all little kids trying to figure this
totally.
Out.
Totally. And especially in this little circle that's like everyone works in the same industry and it's all just so incestual. Like,
you've actually probably seen my dog Riggs. How's my dog Riggs doing?
God.
If I can ask.
Shut up.
Can I ask how my dog Riggs?
I didn't know that.
Hey,
Steve.
I haven't seen Riggs in, oh man.
Steve, I did not know that.
This is like an interrogation.
6 years.
Steve, I was not, of so all hot, the.
Like, Elliot.
Let's get back to the affair.
How's Riggs doing, Elliot?
Let's talk about infidelity. I want to keep it light, Steve. I don't want to talk about your goddamn dog.
What did she still smell good?
So what's your favorite breakup song?
Riggs is super sweet.
She's a sweetie, right? Yeah.
We got along really well.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Right.
That's good.
They did the custody thing for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
She's one of the rare good ones, too. I tell you, never going to get another one of those.
When we first got together, he would tell me that he would wake up in the middle of the night crying because he was dreaming about her.
Yeah, it's tough.
I never cried. Never.
Yeah, I've never cried.
Never. I never cried about that.
Not that you were awake for.
I've never been that vulnerable.
Ooh, you're a night crier. Sleep crier.
I do sleep cry.
Yeah, he has dreams that, like, I'm with another guy and he'll sleep cry and, like, it's like a dog where they're like, like that.
Wow.
Like that's how he.
Yeah, I sound like a little bitch boy.
How often
do those dreams happen,
Steve? Hey, honey, hey.
How often all the time, dude.
How
I'll
often
tell
are you having dreams of your
all
wife?
The time.
Well, I used to have dreams that every time I dreamed of Steve for the first like 2 years we were together, whenever I dream of him, he was so fucking mean. He was so mean that I would wake myself up crying because I was like just like in so much pain from how mean he was in my dream. And he would be the one waking me up being like, hey, you're having a nightmare. And I couldn't trust him for the rest of the day. Like, it was just so fucking mean in my dreams.
She doesn't let shit go.
Ben
and
Folds
he's never been like
that.
That ever in real life. But
which
for
one's
some
that?
Reason.
It's called Trusted. And then this climax of the song is about a woman being mad at him all day because of something that he did in her dreams. Yeah, really funny.
Jesus.
And very relatable. But,
yeah, like he would be with another girl, but not just be with another girl where it's like, oh, I caught you with another girl. He would be like, yeah, and fuck you. I never loved you. And he would like shove all my shit out the door. And I'd be like, wait, what? I thought
Jesus.
We were. Yeah, it was just. it was really bizarre and mean. Maybe it was just like my worst fears ever, like being manifested. But I had like maybe a dream a month for the first like year and a half we were together, and it was just I would wake up rattled, like shaking.
It's a dream a month where you were dreaming of him cheating or leaving.
He would either be
or just leaving you for someone else.
Yeah, he'd usually be leaving me for someone else, or I'd catch him with someone else, and he'd be like, "Yeah, what of it? Like
what
no
it?
Remorse, like no mm-hmm. like." Oh, I'm sorry, I love you, or whatever. It was just like, yeah, cold, like dead, mean. And I'd be like, I'm so hurt right now, and I'm even more hurt that you're not hurt.
Yeah. I have so many thoughts.
So weird.
I love that.
And then
that
it just
stuff,
went
man.
Away.
Yeah.
That's like,
yeah, like what's it actually mean?
Freudian. Yeah, I get real. Yeah. That's my,
and
that's
it
my
went
nerd
away
house.
Around the time he proposed.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, yeah,
then it went away.
Yeah.
Weird.
Just randomly, I've never had a dream like that again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Once I committed to you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
Been,
you were just
yeah.
like afraid of me turning into that
yeah.
guy or something.
Okay, well, can I tell you another story that
or on
this...
some level you expected it to happen because it had happened
yes.
so many times
okay,
before
so
that
I think
your
that's...
unconscious was like, let's do this,
ooh.
I know what to do, and
no,
it
no,
kind
no.
of was a...
Didn't happen
Elliot,
to...
that's
wait.
Hella good insight.
Yes,
to have a fun time.
Didn't happen to me before. So I think my brain figured out this thing that Steve... this pattern that Steve had done in his previous relationships that I brought up to Steve, but after I bringing it up, I think my brain just latched onto it. So there was this pattern. Can I talk about it?
Yeah, where I fuck him too good? And
No, not that pattern.
Yeah, your name gets
wait,
enshrined.
Wait, what did
in
that
there?
Pattern happen? That's
oh,
crazy.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You got trophies and...
We'll cut this. Don't worry.
So,
I'm not worried about myself. We'll cut it.
So in high school, and Steve would tell these stories, and he told them at different times.
Oh, true.
Okay,
true.
Different times, and I pieced them together.
I'm so excited to see
because
where
these detective brain, I'm used to being with compulsive liars, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm already like in detective
sure,
all paranoid. The time,
yeah.
you know, in the first 6 months. So he keeps telling these stories, and you know how,
this
like, as a
thing,
comedian,
right?
Yes.
Revenge body.
He has like.
It's available for $24.95.
Yes, $24.95. Please go check it out.
Elliot
looking like a doof. Two L's,
again,
two T's.
I don't know why I looked pretty good. It was like that and...
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a hook from the
so
show right
revenge.
There.
So Steve would tell...
Yes.
You know how when you're a comedian, you have these bits that you have like these stories already ready to go. Like if the subject of revenge comes up, he'll tell a story about it. So I start hearing these stories mm-hmm. over and over. So they're different stories though. And the first story, it happened in high school where his girlfriend left him for his best friend. And the way that she did it was really
my
fucked
best
up.
Best friend of many years.
All of a sudden, like they were together and she didn't even break up with him yet. And she was like, okay, yeah, I'm with this other Steve now. Well, why did girls leave you for other Steves? That's so weird. Anyway.
Oh, true.
His best friend was named Steve and the girl.
Yeah, but I wasn't left for that
and
guy.
I know, that's but that's weird.
Okay.
Anyway, non-sequitur. So he devised this revenge plan and he asked out this other girl, Kristen, in front of the whole school to go
no,
to prom with
not
him.
Not Kristen.
Oh, it wasn't Kristen?
Allison.
Oh, Allison. Sorry. Thank yeah, you're right. So Kristen was the first girlfriend. Anyway, so he asked this other girl in front of the whole school and he was like the theater person, like the like drama king
guy. I was
guy.
The guy, you know.
He was like the guy. He was popular.
We
cool
were all
guy.
That kid.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't. I was very
really?
Lonely.
Nikki
anyway,
yeah.
So
you didn't
he
have
proposed
your cool theater kids to
nope.
go hang out.
Oh, no, I moderated the M&M message board online. All my friends were online.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm very nerd.
No awards there. You don't win awards
you don't
candy
get
company?
Any.
You're just super
you get
into
your avatar upgraded though. Anyway, great. So he proposes, he asks her out to prom. She says, yes. It's like, oh, my God. And all of this is devised to get the first girlfriend jealous of the new girlfriend, that he got over it so quickly and that, you know, he was doing fine. And then they went to prom together. They were like king and queen or whatever the fuck.
No,
and, okay, well, I didn't, okay. You make it sound that way. And so then his first girlfriend comes crawling back like, oh, I made a mistake. I messed up. Take me back. So then he cheats on the new girl with the old girl.
Yeah.
He cheats on this new girl. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that was the plan.
But it was the plan was to get her back. And then he
when
does.
When you're good, you're good.
Right.
You know?
That's right. That's right.
So then he also tells this other story, very similar story. His girlfriend in L.A. that he was obsessed with broke up with him randomly after a night. Totally took the rug out from underneath him. They lived together, so he had to move out. He immediately starts dating this other girl, and like they're having the time of their life, and they're making out all over the place.
She's
and
very attractive.
He would like disregard his ex and all this stuff, and the ex went so crazy with jealousy that she like broke into their apartment
oh, yeah,
and the whole plan was to date this new girl.
There's a baseline crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It was already there.
But the whole plan for Steve was to date a new girl to make the ex jealous.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I was a new girl after an ex just dumped him out of nowhere.
True.
And so after putting these stories together, I'm like, am I just a revenge plan?
Wouldn't that be good?
And I started getting so fucking in my head about it because I brought it up like, haha, isn't that funny if that was the thing you were doing? Because you did it twice already. And like recently, he had done it to not his ex, but the ex right before. So
I've had a few things, yeah, where people have been like paranoid about, it's been reverse, but there's been paranoia on the other side where it's like, the person I'm dating is very assuming of things and very like, oh, this is going to happen again. Like, this is, you've done this, therefore, you know, and then I think that's a very, it starts logical, but in my experience, when I do it, it's like, I'm like, oh, this is, I can create this entire scenario. And then I'm wanting so bad for that to be proven true that, I mean, it sounds like you're having dreams of your suspicions
true.
Becoming true.
Well,
yeah,
he
so
had
it's like,
he had done a video crying about his ex.
Okay.
And so, and then we started dating.
it's canon.
Yeah, it is.
And then,
it's a cry to
it's your revenge
put it in the vault.
And then we started dating like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
So it was like, it kind of fits the pattern of like, you get broken up with, you really quickly get into a new relationship just to get revenge on your ex.
Okay, can I just say right now that I could never do that to you.
But if so, this is the longest game plan I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be so good?
Wait till you meet that. I mean, the other girl's going to be, she must be really cool.
Oh, she's
because he's committed to this. He's committed to this scheme.
That would be my greatest troll of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the PS de resistance. That's the best thing I could have ever done.
So in my dreams,
you'd
out. It was
that. Yeah. I drop the all the mics for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my dream, like, that's how cold you were.
We just tell ourselves stories. We're just filled with stories. That's all. We're just telling ourselves. Yeah. We're like, it's
that's what we do.
It's
true.
I love it. Why not? Have fun with it, Elliot. That's what I like to do. I say, let's have fun with this one, Elliot.
Oh, that's nice.
Just
I like that.
See what your dumbass brain comes up with for this shit that is completely meaningless and benign, but because of your situation, you're going to completely read into and concoct. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Before we leave.
Yes.
I have just a question about new relationships, because you said that you've been dating for the past 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I do, yeah.
Do people look at you as a formerly married man and they go, you have baggage or whatever the hell that is?
Broken merchandise.
Yeah, right.
I haven't had that experience. If I have, it hasn't been to my face. I feel like I'm pretty open about everything, and I think that it's pretty... I mean, if somebody gets that impression, then it's sort of like... I would just be like, oh, then you... That it would be a non-issue. It would be like, I'm not going to fight for somebody who assumes that, because it would mean that they weren't seeing me for the reality. Like, I feel, right. I don't know. I feel very great pretty much all the time. And so then when it becomes
that
thing.
Wow, how's that like?
That's it's really
that's
awesome.
That's amazing.
Holy shit.
I mean, I'm not like, I don't.
You do an Adderall?
I do a lot. I do a mix of just cocaine and Adderall.
There you go.
And,
yeah. Uppers and downers.
No, I do feel like pretty consistently good at peace. So I don't worry too much about it, I guess. Yeah. If I love talking about it. I think there's so much to discuss in it that I don't mind bringing it up. And if people think, I mean, I don't know. I obviously, when stuff flares up, though, like for sure, it'll be like, oh, this is still a piece of thing that's affecting me in this way or whatever. And I've had that happen. But those are also super exciting moments where it's like, oh, shit, this is a situation where, what was it? What was the deal? There was something that happened. I don't want to go into details. All right, huh?
You can, and we can cut it if you want.
No. It was like something where it was definitely a result of having been married for like a very long time. And there was some kind of thing where I just gotten very, I'm going to end up speaking so obtusely that it's not going to make a lot of sense. But there are things, I guess. That's not going to lead down an interesting story or anecdote. But I think that, there's moments of it in general. Whatever. You know, people are going to, I guess it doesn't, what are they
going
to do?
People are going to do whatever they're going to do.
So clear.
Like,
it makes so much sense.
Whatever they want.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would never think that about somebody that got married super young. It's like, oh, that you were just raised that way. Like, that's like what people did.
Yeah, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
And it's like, if people, I don't know. It's an interesting story. It is what it is. And I wouldn't think it's made me into a special snowflake of a person.
What about your take on marriage now? Are you like, has it affected your view of marriage? Are you like, not marriage is not for me? Are you like, I'm totally
that's true.
Different?
I love the idea of getting married. Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's
I'm
great.
A huge fan of it. I think that like, I do believe that there's like a level of love and passion that I will feel toward a person that will make me want to make the insane choice to get married. But I do think it's an insane thing. I just think it's a very
beautiful, on paper it's like, wow, that's like really hard to get out of if this is the wrong thing.
Yeah, it gets very very complicated. But yeah, I think I'm totally, I love that. I want all that again. I think I'll be good at it, which is cool. Because I did all the books. Like, we did the counseling. I've read most of the self-help books. Yeah. So it's nice. Not like I don't, we know the answers to most of the stuff anyway, even if you don't read that shit. And so it's like, now it's like,
all
right,
learned all the things.
Yeah, like, let's have some fun and get crazy. And, you know, hopefully that happens. But
now you have somewhere to apply the knowledge that you've picked up.
I'm excited. I'm excited about that, whatever that ends up being. But
it's like you've been working out at relationships and you're ready to, you know, you're ready to step out of the gym. You're like, I'm good to go.
Yeah. Ironically, though, I just sit at home all day. But yes, that's basically.
So what final advice do you have to people out there who might be going through a bad breakup right now?
First of all, Merry Christmas. Something going through a bad breakup. Just, I would say, lean into it. Sorry. Love you.
Yeah.
That'd be it.
Yeah, I would say, you know, allow yourself to have those feelings like we were talking about earlier. Look up patterns so you can like actually do something about your next relationships, you know, that will perhaps be healthier choices. Mm-hmm. People don't embrace being with themselves enough. And I didn't really realize that. See, I was a moderator on an M&M message board, so I had a lot of alone time, and I like it. So being alone has always been like something like not
scary. You learned how to lose yourself in the moment.
I lost myself, and I lose
mom's spaghetti on you.
And
okay, great. It was okay, great.
Yes. I got it. I was trying to think of the next lyric.
I think I nailed it.
This is why I got fired from the moderator job.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It was actually pre 8 Mile, but
and it was pro bono.
Yeah,
I can't. Pro bono. I'm like that with Weezer, so and that's a far worse.
Oh, really? You're obsessed with Weezer?
I'm not obsessed, but I definitely have been in that realm of obsession. Yeah, I was like a super fan for a long. They're still my favorite band, but I like them from a masochistic level because I'm like, how low can you go?
Yeah.
And still spring back. But anyway,
The moment you own it.
The moment you there it is. Yeah.
Okay, I lost my virginity to that song.
Did you actually?
I did.
You lost yourself to that one?
Well, it was playing. 8 Mile was playing on the TV while we were losing. Yeah.
Was it like to amp the guy up or some shit?
No, it was romantic because it was our 1 year anniversary. It was our 1 year anniversary, which is a long time in high school. And I thought of, you know, I thought I was gonna save myself to marriage, but then I was like, well, I'm probably gonna marry this guy. So, like, we made it a year. Yeah. So that's like, hello.
Yeah.
And we got champagne and a hotel room and Chinese food, and I was like, I'll bring my brother's PS4 and we can watch or whatever, cute. And we can watch 8 Mile just came out on DVD. And so,
do you remember what part of the song you came to?
Well, I don't even know if the song was playing. It was like the general soundtrack was throughout the movie.
Okay.
I'd like to think it was right after him and Brittany Murphy fucked. And so that was like what got us in the mood, you
know?
That's
kind of good.
That's fun.
So whatever happens during that part. But yeah,
I busted a load during Half Past Dead, that Steven Seagal movie where he's in Alcatraz.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah.
This is my final moment.
Did you see Big Mouth? Sorry.
No.
He's a hater.
An episode.
He's
I don't know
a
if
huge
it's
hater.
Did you write it?
That's just tough. Yeah, take your time.
The way that you looked about it, you're like, well, I wrote the show.
It was in the writer's room. No.
Got it.
They have seen it.
Be comfortable with being by yourself because then nobody. I think that if you can learn how to just be happy like on your own, then the next person you are with should just build on that. Mm-hmm. Like it shouldn't be something that like you need them to be happy. It's like I'm already happy, and then you just add to it.
Yeah, that's the best.
My advice, if you're going through a breakup, is that you will be okay, and use this as an opportunity. Like look at yourself in the mirror and go, what do I want to fix about myself? If you like what you see. If that really is good enough, then you're in a good spot. If you don't like what you see and you know what you want to fix about yourself or about your appearance or whatever, then you're also in a good spot because you know what you need to work on. And I think that there's nothing better than knowing what you need to work on. I feel.
Someone out there is crying, listening and eating ice cream and being like, fuck you, Steve.
Why?
He's like, I don't want to think about what I have to work on.
Well, I don't want to look at myself in the mirror. That's very cynical out there. Just that's, like the beaver butthole thing.
That's a beaver butthole
idea. Yeah, that's a beaver butthole idea.
Dang.
Wow. Well, I feel like I've, gosh. As long as I'm happy with this podcast, as long as you guys agree to cut out anything I said about marriage or divorce, I'm going to be super.
Great, no problem. No problem.
Yeah, we'll just you in. We'll be done
Thanks
with
for asking the question, though. It is nice to, it feels good, if not sort of viscerally vulnerable to talk about. So I appreciate you asking those questions because then I get to be like, oh, yeah. Oh, right.
No, we love right, being let's vulnerable. Let's go back there. Talk about our own bullshit.
Yeah.
And
for reals.
Yeah, it's fun.
Because no one does, and then that's how you don't learn anything.
Yes.
No, I think if I can give any advice to anybody going through a breakup, it's. You know, if E reaches out,
say no.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it. Because, hey, if you hadn't done it, you wouldn't have that great story today.
I got many great stories from many bad decisions.
It brought many laughs to many thousands of people out there listening to this.
That's how you get into stand-up comedy, everybody.
That's very true.
Check out Elliot, stand-up comedy. Elliot, where can they find you?
Well, Nikki, if you're going to be in the Boston area on February 17th, I'm going to be performing at Laugh Boston on Sunday, February 17th at 7 p.m. You can get tickets now at LaughBoston. Also, .com. And I do The Valley Folk at youtube.com/TheValleyFolk, and we make all sorts of fun stuff.
Is there
it was
perhaps,
like you rehearsed it.
Is there
that
perhaps
really
like maybe a social media that they can find out future shows?
Ooh. Instagram.com/ElliotMorgan. That's 2 L's, 2 T's. I also do a podcast called The Fundamentalists with a philosopher and theologian and an all-around good person named Peter Rollins. And we have fun with that as well.
Theologian.
And we do live versions of that. Yeah.
And would you say the emphasis is on the fun part?
I think it's on the demen.
The demen part.
Yeah. Got it.
Good
so
to know.
It's one of those. Yeah.
Harder to advertise, but I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
We're trying to exercise. Demens.
It's pretty good. I took it back. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, they found it.
That was what I wanted to hear.
Anyway, thank you guys for having me.
Hey, thank you, Elliot.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks,
Elliot, for being on the show.
Thanks
today.
For rating our show. We really appreciate it.
We do. And yeah, Merry Christmas,
it helps
guys.
A lot.
Or Happy Hanukkah or holidays. I don't know. I don't want to be.
Thanks for sticking with us this year. We appreciate you guys. See you next Thursday.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this. When you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.